to proclaim the word of God to the best of my ability. And so, Lord, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice. Amen. Anybody feel like rejoicing? Anybody be glad in it? Are you glad in your rejoicing? Are you glad in this day? Are you still bogged down with things that's troubling you, that things that you're concerned about? Oh, when I come into the presence of the Lord, things start to happen. Things start to move. I won't be before you long. Coming from Philippians chapter 3. Very familiar passage of scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. But I would like to read maybe 1 through 7. But I didn't bring the right Bible this morning. So I'm not going to do that. Amen. So the Bible reads, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. God's word is already blessed. Many weeks we have been studying the book of Philippians. Elder Beecham has done a fine job in explaining the book of Philippians, and we give God the praise for him. And we give God the praise and give him some praise. We thank him, because it's not easy trying to prepare a lesson week in and week out, you know. And we thank you for your participation. So we will begin. Paul's primary desire was to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Paul gave up many things, including status, wealth, family, and luxury, because he believed knowing Christ was the most important thing in his life. The question today is, do you feel like knowing Christ is the most important thing in your life? The Apostle Paul considered that all his earthly achievements and accomplishments and in keeping of the law was nothing but dung. We live in a world where people have and are being flooded by a lot of data and information. They're being flooded by facts, figures about people, places, things, people that we never came in contact in centuries past, but we're being flooded by those things. Sometimes we've been so flooded that we take one step further, we think we know people on a weekly and daily basis, but we really don't know them. We know them sometimes, we don't even know the loved ones that's in our homes and in our family. Am I right about it?
Yes, you are.
DJ I. Packer said, a great author of Christian literature, said, there's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. When you truly know God, you have a desire to want to serve him. When you really know God, you have a boldness to share Christ with people and friends. When you really know God, you have a sense of contentment in your heart during every situation. Billy Graham said that my prayer in life is to help people find a personal relationship with God, which I believe comes through knowing Christ. But how do we know Christ, Elder Wells? You have to experience Christ for yourself. You can't rely on someone else's experiences. You can't rely on what mama told you. You can't rely on what daddy told you. You can't even rely on what the preacher told you. You have to find out for yourself. There's many things that that's going into the world. People wearing crosses around their neck, and they don't understand what the cross means. They're wearing wristbands with, what would Jesus do? If you want to know what Jesus do, that means that you got the R-E-A-D. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:16 say, study to show yourself approved, not unto man, but unto God. The other thing you have to do is you have to have a committed prayer life. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. I have maybe 4 points. One is that, first point, that I may know him. The second point is that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. The third point is that I may have fellowship in his suffering. And the last point that I'm going to try to explain, that I may know him and being made conformable to his death. Knowing Christ implies that it's more than just head knowledge. It's more than just knowing facts and figures and locations and words and diagram, but it's a personal experience of his love, of his forgiveness, of his guidance in our lives. We can only accomplish things by the gift of faith, that we have to lean and trust and depend on the Almighty God. And when you lean and trust and depend on the Almighty God, it will lead you into a place of worship. It will lead you into a place of praise. It will lead you in a place of intimacy with God, where you want to always be around God. I remember David saying that he would go on the backside of the woods with the sheep and start playing on his harp, and he was in the presence of God. I remember Moses going up on the high mountain, and he was in the presence of God. I remember Enoch walked with God. If these men, they were just ordinary men, just like we are. But they had a desire to want to be in the presence of the Almighty. Do you have that same desire? Do you have that hunger to have a deeper relationship with Christ? Or do you just want to be a surface Christian? John 3:16, which is a good verse, but people usually stop at that verse because they really don't want to take a next step of faith into what's really going on. Also, to know God, we must be obedient to the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. To know him, we must experience his transformation and his conversion in our lives. We must know that it was he that brought us and not we ourselves. Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Oh, in the power of his resurrection, a lot of things went on when Jesus was resurrected. When he died, he said it was finished. And the earth became dark. And people came out of the tombs and started walking through the city, that I may know him in the power of the resurrection. The leaders bribed the guards and told them to tell lies that he didn't resurrect. The people and the guards recognized the power of God. The guard said, truly, he was the Son of God. Matthew 27:54. But it didn't just stop at the tomb. When he died, he got up from the grave with all power in his hands. Are you glad about it that Christ got up with all power in his hands? But that wasn't the end of the story, for he said, go up into an upper room. And when you go up into an upper room, he says, stay right there. It kind of reminds me of this place, Beecher. Amen. The upper room. You just stay right there until you be endued with power. I remember the times of my life when I first came to the Lord. The mothers used to tell me, son, you just stay right there. You're doing good. Just keep on coming. Just keep on coming, because I was just a weak Christian starting this new life of faith. But as I kept coming and I kept believing and I kept trusting, I started feeling something down on the inside of me. I started feeling like joy bells. I never felt like that before. And I said, what is this? And asked one of them and said, you shall receive power. I was open to receiving the power that God had for me, the power of the Holy Spirit. It says that you may know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, but also that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Many Christians today, or most people, don't know that the Christian walk is a suffering walk. When you begin to stand for Christ boldly for the cause of Christ, sometimes it seems like all hell is breaking out in your life, because you is proclaiming to a dying world that there's hope in this world. And the devils and the demons in this world system Don't like you for saying that. They will come against you. They will even take your job to get you out the way. They will come against you. They will try to kill you because of naming the name of Christ. But I hear Ephesians 6:12 say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, against a spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus said, don't be afraid, for I have overcome the world. John says that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Sister Bukhar said it earlier today, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon, no strategy of the enemy shall prevail against you and me. Say that. No weapon. Shall form against me. Shall prevail. I hear Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When some days I don't feel like a strong Christian. Sometimes you may look at me like, he don't look like a strong Christian. You know, but I realize that even in my weakness, I know there's strength. I know there's strength that's on the inside that will rise to the top. Do you have situations in your life, if you feel that you're under spiritual attack, you need to shout. You need to shout and say, it's over. You need to shout and say, it's finished. It's done. That I may know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering. But the last one is that I may know him being made conformable to his death. As I was sitting here out last night, I was like, what does that mean? Help me, Jesus. But, you know, when I saw something, I saw some Play-Doh. Anybody ever played with Play-Doh?
Yes.
It said that with Play-Doh, you pull it out the package and you roll it around and you lay it on the table and you might make something out of the Play-Doh that nobody can recognize. But then there's some objects in the box. And if you take one of these little objects and you press it down in the Play-Doh, and as you press it down into the Play-Doh, it turns into a mold. It might be a star, it might be a moon, but it becomes just like the thing that was pressed in the dough. And what I'm trying to say is that Paul said that he wanted to be made conformable. Conformable is the Greek word systematizo, where we get the word schematic. It means that Paul wanted to be so much like Christ that he didn't want us to miss the same pattern. He wanted to be so much like Christ. It's like being a seamstress. A seamstress has a pattern, and if she keep using that pattern, no matter what, it's going to still be the same suit. It's still going to be the same dress. It's still going to be the same pants. And that's what Paul was trying to tell us. He said that he wanted to be so much like Christ, he wanted to pattern his life after Christ, even to the point of death. How many want that life? How many want to pattern their life so perfect after Christ, even to go to a cross, even to die? And Paul did all of that. He patterned his life after Christ, and he was victorious. In closing, the question is, do you want to know him or know about him, or does it really matter? Does knowing about Christ really matter in our lives, in our kids' life? And do it really matter in the world? Do they really care that knowing about Christ is the most important thing in our life? To know him in a deeper way, to feel the power of his resurrection, to partake in the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformable to the pattern of his life and death. Do you really want to be intimate with God? Well, today you have a chance to enter into this fabulous relationship that God has for all mankind, that they accept Christ by faith and live their life forever and ever with him. For he gives us the victory over sin, the body, and the grave. And sooner or later, might be today, might be tomorrow, but we're going back with him to reign with a king. And so we say thank you this morning that knowing him is the most important thing that you would know in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.